Good day, everyone everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, the host. Today we're going to start a brand new study, and that is we're going to get back to the Old Testament and pick up the narrative. We had previously gone through the beginning books of the scripture up until the book of Joshua, and that's where we ended it. So that's where we're going to pick up again today. Okay, anyway, I'm looking at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, so I'm just going to jump right into it. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahuwah, or as it says in the authorized King James Version, the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. And we know that that Moses was not allowed to cross over into the promised land. We also know about the name of Joshua. And the name of Joshua in Hebrew, phonetically, at least correctly pronounced, would be Yahshua, which would be the same name as the Messiah. So, absolutely, Joshua is a type of the Messiah, one who leads us into the promised land. And, of course, the promised land was that land is a land of new birth, but not of this world. In verse 3, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I've given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So they were going to go over the Jordan, him and all the people, into the land which I do give thee, even to the children of Israel. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Now, if you'll remember that Joshua was one of the only men of the generation that came out of the land of Egypt to enter into the promised land. And that is because he came back with a good report. All of the others were condemned to die in the wilderness of that generation that came out of Egypt. And of course, Joshua, because of the disobedience and the idolatry of the people, their unbelief, he had to suffer for that 40 years in waiting to go into the promised land, because that was the punishment of the people. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Of course, he's speaking to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for Yahuwah thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the hosts and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan and go in to possess the land which Yahuwah, your God, giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, to the half-tribe of Manasseh spoke Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of Yahuwah the Lord, commanded you, saying, Yahuwah your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until Yahuwah hath given your brethren rest as he has given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever you send us we will go, according as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only Yahuwah thy God will be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. So simply what's happening is here is that some of the tribes had chosen out land on the side of the Jordan that they were on before they crossed over, and they were commanded to get all their men of arms together to go over the Jordan to help the other tribes possess their land. And then when they possessed their land, then they could return. Simple. Joshua chapter 2. And Yahshua, because that was his name, like I said, he was a type of the Messiah. He had the same name as the Messiah. You can see why it would have been a popular name in that time. And no, they did not pronounce it with a J as they do today. It was Yahshua. 4 syllables. Yahushua. And not 3 as they pronounce it today. And so the name of the Messiah, many people pronounce it Yeshua, as in Yeshua, or they say Yahuwah and things like that, pronouncing it with a yes type sound instead of a Yah, as we would in Hallelujah. And as far as I know, the Y-A-H way of pronouncing the names is the correct way, until someone can come up with some research to change that. I think many people just go with the pronunciations given in the Strong's Greek and Hebrew. And there he has Y-E-H, so many people treat the Strong's Hebrew and Greek dictionary's concordance as if it is the Word of God, which it is not. Sometimes, you know, it's a good guide. It's a very good and powerful tool, but still we have to remember that it is not the Word of God itself. Chapter 2 and verse 1, And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went, and came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And you know, you might question, why would they go to a harlot's house? Why would they immediately go to a harlot's house and lodge there? Well, you think about it. You're on a mission of espionage. Where else would you go? You would go where the drifters and the strangers and the sojourners would go in the city, and you would lodge there with where the cheap rent, the low rent place, because you don't want to attract a whole lot of attention. So that's how they end up, I mean, just logically, in the harlot's house. And her name was Rahab, and they lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. So someone recognized them as Hebrews or Israelites and sent word to the king. And of course, the king dispatches some of his policy enforcers, his police, out into the city, and they send out an APB, you know, an all points bulletin to pick up, any Hebrew children, because I guess someone recognized their speech or by whatever, means that they recognized them for who they were, and, suspicions arose and, sent word to the king. So he sends out an APB, and the police are out going door to door now looking for these guys, right? So the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab. So the police show up at her door saying, bring forth the men that are come unto thee, that are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I know not whence they were. What she's saying is, hey, they've already come and gone. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate when it was dark that the men went out. Whither the men went, I do not know. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. And she's saying, well, you know, they just left. And if you hurry up, you might catch them. So the police, they went off and hunt and searching for those men. And she's kind of going, hurry up. They're going to shut the gate. The men are going to escape. Pretty slick, huh? Meanwhile, she has them hidden. So Rahab, I guess the madam of the house, or however you say it, she hides the Hebrew, the Israelites, and she sends the police on a wild goose chase. You know, she lied to the authorities. That's right. Is there ever a right time to lie to the authorities? And, you know, not only did she lie to the authorities, but she was a traitor. I mean, you think about it, because she was of this city, and so she was a traitor to her king and to the city. So she's a liar and a traitor, isn't she? Well, let's see what happens. She hid the two men. It came to pass, and she says, I don't know. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. You know, hurry up and get them before they get away. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan into the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she come up unto them upon the roof and said to the men, I know that Yahuwah hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We're getting a little insight here as to what was going on inside Jericho, and how all the city was in an uproar over the children of Israel coming near, because, you know, they'd been keeping an eye on them. They've heard the report that these are great men of God, warriors, and they're coming in to take the land. There is, you know, there's nothing hidden going on here. It's plain to see. And she says, I know. She says, I know that Yahuwah, and she's using, and that there, the King James Version is using the Lord, of course, but inserting in the original text would be the name of the Creator, Yahuwah, by name. I know that Yahuwah hath given you the land. She's saying, I know that the Creator has given you this land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. They don't know what to do. Everyone's afraid. Everyone wants to run. because the Israelites are coming. So here she is. She's a liar and she's a traitor. But is she righteous at the same time? Because she believes, she trusts in the God of Israel that he's going to give them the land? She doesn't want to faint. No, she wants to survive. And so is it ever right to be a traitor by the view of your own government? Would it ever be right to be a traitor? You know, think about Jeremiah, the days of Jeremiah, before the Babylonians came in and destroyed the temple and the city. How Jeremiah the prophet, he suffered greatly for his traitorous ways, for not going along with the government of men who, you know, they were practicing idolatry. We have a parallel here. In Jericho, they were idolaters. That's right. They were totally in idolatry. They didn't fear the God of heaven, the creator of the universe. When his people came, they didn't surrender and say, we want to worship your God. We will give up our idols. No, they wanted to protect their way of life. And same with Jeremiah. When all of those that listened to the prophet of God, he said, well, when the enemy comes, you go out and surrender to him. Now, that's traitorous speech, isn't it? So, I mean, the real question is, who do you put first? What kingdom do you put first? Do you put the kingdom of the government and the people around you before the kingdom and the government of our God and Creator? Which one comes first? Now, if Yahshua, that is the Messiah, if he said, whoever loves his mother or father or sister or brother or even their own children or his own life before me is not worthy of me. Now, if he said that, certainly your country comes way below your own blood, your own kin, your own children, and your own life on the scale of loyalty and allegiance. So your allegiance is to the kingdom of heaven first and to the God of heaven, the King of heaven, before it is to any national government on this planet, on this earth. Our allegiance comes to him first. And that's what Jeremiah and all those who followed the prophet Jeremiah, it showed us by example. And that's what Rahab is doing here. She's declaring her allegiance to the King of heaven and to the God of Israel. That makes her a traitor in Jericho. Yes, it does. And she committed perjury by lying to the authorities. I'm sure that that was a punishable offense then in Jericho, especially under those circumstances where it would be treason. But that's what she does. She chooses her allegiance with the God of Israel. And she says, I know that Yahuwah, your God, hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how Yahuwah dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And I hear they're talking about something that happened 40 years ago, but they have not forgotten. Their fame went over all the earth for something that happened 40 years ago. And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you have utterly destroyed. You know, you can see why they were afraid. You can see why the people were fainting at the thought of the children of Israel coming to Jericho. And they had a good reason, too. As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For Yahuwah, your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by Yahuwah, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If you utter not this, our business, it shall be when Yahuwah hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said to them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards you may go your way. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes.